bulletin this morning, very simple scripture that is written, but it is far more complicated for us to interpret and to apply in our lives than what we may consider. Jesus uttered this very profound and absolutely true statement when in answer to a question, he said, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's." And as I consider that, I know there are some things that I will never give to Caesar. I will never give Caesar my heart. And I will never give Caesar my conscience. These are two things that will never belong to Caesar. But there are some things I should give to Caesar. And in this application, I mean to the civil government of which I am an obligated citizen. We have a city government. We have a county government. We have a state government. We have a federal government. And someday we'll have a world government. I wouldn't vote for world government, but it looks like, according to the scriptures, that we will have a world government someday, and we have laid the foundation for that, as I understand the Constitution of the United Nations. Paul, the apostle, urged us to be a part of and give our support to government, which is designed to protect us from those who are evil and to give us certain privileges and rights. Men and their minds differ on what belongs to Caesar. But we have in our nation a document by which we are guided as to what Caesar can expect, can demand, and we have voted as a nation to say this is what he deserves. We can conscientiously give him and render to him these things. We also have a document that tells us how we can worship and serve God. We refer to it as the Bible. So we have a constitution. Constitution of the United States of America and the 66 books of the Holy Bible given to us by inspiration through prophets and inspired writers over a period of some 1,500 years. This morning, as we come together, I want to share some information with you that I feel deeply in my heart about our Constitution, and about those things that are happening to us now. The Bible from God is divinely inspired, and it is forbidden to stand in human wisdom. It informs and defines that which is spiritual. Our Constitution has emanated from human experience and from the principles that are found in the Word of God. We speak of the separation of church and state when in fact there can be no such thing. But I understand what our Constitution means, the First Amendment. I understand what it means, and I want to speak to you about that and about the Second Amendment briefly and the Fifth Amendment, which I feel has been badly misinterpreted by our Supreme Court. There's a flag here that represents our nation. There's a flag flying out where publicly it can be seen, and people can understand that we as a congregation of people are loyal subjects of our nation, and we're not loyal to Congress, and we're not loyal to the president, and we're not loyal to the court system, but we pledge and take our oath, especially as those who belong to the military, to defend the Constitution. And I'm glad we don't take an oath to defend a person. We take an oath to defend the Constitution, and we swear to tell the truth by placing our hand on a Bible. You can't tell me that's separation of church and state. In fact, our nation required that you take an oath on the Bible. They're trying to change it now where you can take an oath on some other book, and that Muslims can take their oath on the Muslim scriptures, so-called, the Quran. That's in the works now. But I have a facsimile of the Declaration of Independence, July 4th, 1776. And as I look at the signatures on it, the sixth person to sign this document was a man by the name of John Penn. He was a descendant of William Penn, and to the best of our knowledge, is a progenitor of our family. We've always tried to name some family member, male, after this man particularly, but it's been an honorable name. But in this Declaration of Independence, there are many enumerations of those who signed this against the King of England and all of the crimes that he had committed and all of the problems that were inherent in trying to rule a nation thousands of miles across an ocean. And what you will notice if you read this carefully is that in the Constitution, we set up a form of government that is republican nature, representative in nature. And then we added 10 amendments. And these 10 amendments pretty well solve the issues that are stated here in the Constitution. That is, in the complaint against the king in the Declaration of Independence. That is about quartering troops, taking land without compensation, having to have a being tried once and once only for the same crime if you are in some way declared innocent. To me, it is the greatest human document that has ever been written. I believe the Bible is the greatest sacred instrument that's ever been written. It has all of the basic and even minute instruction that we need in order to be saved, delivered from our own sins, to then know how to correctly worship God, and to know how we ought to live in this land that is governed also by a constitution, how we ought to treat our family, how we ought to respond to our problems in the family, how we ought to respond to our problems in the church. It details and addresses all of the possible human problems that exist on this earth. Now, it may not be the civil problems, but all of the human problems. So it is a valuable book to those people who have a concept of who gave it to us and what it is for. But I also have great pride in the Constitution of the United States and the amendments that have been made. We have made some mistakes in our amendments, I believe. But then again, everyone who lives in America is not a Christian. And so we have a broader text of living in the flesh. Not after the flesh, but in the flesh. I believe the Constitution assumes an order of mind and attitude of heart in the people who live under its laws that are necessary for its success. In other words, if we do not have a conscience that has been trained, enhanced, and perhaps changed by the Word of God, if our citizens are not upright, honest, and ethical, then our Constitution isn't going to work very well. No one ever dreamed that you could have a nation such as ours with as few laws as we have and with the tremendous freedom that we have without having, in a brief period of time, total anarchy. Our nation was built primarily by people who were not guided particularly by laws, but who voluntarily obeyed and lived by law. Law cannot solve anything because you cannot enforce it when enough people decide that they're not going to obey it. You cannot find enough military, you cannot find enough policemen to make people do right. So the reason I believe that we have done so well as a nation, prospered so greatly as a nation, been a blessing to so many people in the world, is because we voluntarily have a conscience, that we voluntarily have a knowledge of God, that we voluntarily acknowledge the presence of a God, that all of these things calm society and govern society, guided by the laws that we ourselves have primarily adopted, or our representatives have adopted, so that our land can be a peaceful and quiet land. Now, I know it hadn't always been, but when we compare it to other nations, it has been extraordinary for the years that we've been in existence. In 1776, there had been a new constitution for the colony of Virginia. And it had been hammered out by the writer of the Declaration of Independence. It had been hammered out by Patrick Henry. And Virginia had moved from a persecuting colony, one where Baptist people had been put in jail from about 1740 until 1775, because Virginia was a crown colony and the state church was the Church of England. Baptist preachers who went into this colony to preach, such as John Leland, were arrested and put in prison because they would not go before a magistrate and purchase a license to preach. And so they preached without state licensure. And in doing so, they broke the law. They were arrested and placed in prison. If you look at the history of Virginia, there are books that will list the hundreds of preachers who defied the law. But Virginia had decided, because of a number of issues, that this was an improper circumstance. Massachusetts had the same type of constitution. The Congregational Church was the state church. And John Clark and Obadiah Holmes and others had been arrested for daring go near Boston to a little village called Lynn and meet with one of their blind, infirm members and study the Word of God. They were arrested. Obadiah Holmes was whipped unmercifully. Died some 2 years later from the wounds inflicted upon him because they had not asked permission from the colony of Massachusetts and primarily from the Boston authorities to come and study the Word of God and preach the gospel. So at the time of the Declaration of Independence, there were many bloody Baptist backs. Much property had been confiscated in Pennsylvania that belonged to Baptist people and given to Presbyterians at that time, who were in a majority in a little area, and they used it to build their church. They confiscated farms. They confiscated a cemetery, in fact, that the Baptists had built over a period of about 12 years. Land they'd cleared, and they sold it at auction, and then built a building out of it and used it to pay their Presbyterian preacher. Such was the religious state in the colonies at this particular time of the writing of our Constitution. So it is not unusual that there should be an amendment to the Constitution which would specifically declare and ensure that no one could be denied the right to worship, or that there would be a state church entitled the Church of the United States, where taxes were collected from everyone, and this state church would license religion in America. It's not unusual that there should be a statement in our Constitution. And it was through Baptist influence that these amendments were made, and it's through Baptist influence that this amendment is given. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. That means that Congress cannot set up a church that is the legal and monopolizing religion or church in America. That's all it means. We don't want a state church. Why? Because they had seen what a state church does in Virginia. They'd seen what a state church does in Massachusetts. They'd seen what a state church does in Maryland and even in Pennsylvania. And they said, we are a nation now, and a man ought to be free. And the Baptists gave them this principle because of Rhode Island and Roger Williams. Everyone was saying pretty well, you ought to have the right to go to the church you want to go to. Okay, we'll concede that. But the Baptist said, you ought to have a right not to go to church if you don't want to. And that was the other side of the coin that people didn't even dream of. You mean that they're going to let some sorry human just lie in bed on Sunday morning and read the funny papers and not go to any church? We'll not have that. And the Baptist said, you can't force a man to worship God if he don't want to. If he wants to lie in bed and read the funny paper on Sunday morning, you can't arrest him. You can't punish him. You can't fine him. You can't take away his constitutional rights. I'd be for some of that today. Mild punishment, you understand? No, I wouldn't. I joke. That was unheard of. There was no nation in the world that felt that way. Well, many of our people were well aware of what happened in England. The terrible persecution that people fell under, the jails, the burning at the stake, especially where the Roman Catholic Church was the state church. It had been going on since 450. They had dominated, controlled, and forced by the sword people to worship according to the way they understood the Bible. And people understood, this is not liberty, this is not freedom. We want to be free in our conscience. We want to be free in our person. We want to be free to interpret the Bible and go by it according as it affects our conscience and worship according to it without interference from king or queen or government or parliament. Leave us alone. It's been our plea since Jesus said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and unto God the things that are God's. They cannot establish a religion, and they cannot prohibit the free exercise thereof. They cannot abridge the freedom of speech or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And I just mentioned Article 2 because there's been so much discussion about it, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. You notice what that says? These people understood that they all had weapons in their homes. Whenever this Declaration of Independence was given, they understood we got to take the muskets, the rifles, whatever we've got in our homes, and that's got to be the arsenal for our military. So they said, look, it's possible that there'll be tyrants arise. There'll be people who want to enforce laws upon us that are not in our Constitution. It's possible that people will try to change our government. And when they do, they'll hear from us. So we want everyone to have in their possession the weapons they want to carry when we have to go back to war. That's what that was all about. It wasn't so you could deer hunt. Everybody was knowing you could do that. I mean, that wasn't an argument. They were saying, look, a militia is necessary to a free state. And I've always said, if you want to get shot, bother a Baptist. He'll protect his property. Now, I mean that honestly. Our military loves to have Baptist chaplains. They'll pray for you to kill the enemy. Some of the others won't. They'll pray for the enemy. And we're not going to do that. We pray for you. Our people are freedom-loving people. Leave us alone. Let us mind our own business. If you need us, we'll go to war. If Caesar needs us, we'll pick up our muskets and we will defend the freedom we have to worship as we believe the Bible teaches us to worship. We're not saying that we're not going to defend our freedoms and our rights and our privileges. We will. We'll take up arms and we will do it. But when we have done that, we want to come back home. We want to farm. We want to make a living. We want to worship God. We don't want you to mess with that. That's what this idea of Article 2 is all about. We had a ATF man who was a member of our church for a long time. In fact, he was our Sunday school superintendent. And I was a very close friend of his. That's alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. And I'd talk to him from time to time. When he drove me all over Little Rock so I could visit the visitors that came to our church. I felt good with him. And we went in some places I wouldn't have felt good with anybody else. But his whole idea was no one really needs a weapon except military or law enforcement people. You know, you people got the wrong idea. We disagreed on that. And I think his attitude is what this article forbids. We're not warlike people. We're peace-loving, God-loving, liberty-loving, freedom-loving people, but we will defend it with arms if necessary. It says that the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. These people realized that governments go crazy. We may need these that we've used to get our freedom, or need these that we've used to get our freedom from England. We may have a president or someone who tries to become a dictator that won't change office whenever the election's been held. It occurred many times in Europe and it happens many times in other countries now. But Article 5. You know, we've been wrestling what to do with the Ten Commandments more than we have almost any other religious principle or document in the last several years. It's been an issue. And the Supreme Court finally took it as something they would give a decision on. And they decided that if a religious image or document is hanging on a wall, that is permitted by the Constitution, but if you take it outside and hang it on a wall, or you hang it on a wall on the inside, I should say, that's going to be illegal, but other places it'll be all right. Now, the reason they made that decision, it's very simple. They were sitting under a religious symbol of the Law of Moses while they made that decision. And they said, well, now that's a history of our law, of our judicial system. So that's fine. You know, that's okay. But if you write it down and put it on a schoolhouse wall, then that's religion. They really danced around that, and to whose music, I don't know, perhaps their own. But can you imagine what would happen if they went to every state capitol and every federal building and started chiseling off the Ten Commandments or a religious symbol of Moses or whatever? I mean, our people are going to be incensed. We might not have been awake yet, but we would have woke up when they took the jackhammer and started in on it, okay? So they said, okay, that's legal. That's legal, that's fine, but this isn't fine. And then this Article 5 and this freedom of religion. But anyway, the last statement about private property. You've heard this discussed this week if you hadn't been in the grave. It's just simple. Has to do with the search and seizure and things of that nature. And the fifth one states in the last sentence, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Now, we always thought that meant a road or something of that nature. In fact, you know, we are on Prickett Road. It makes a bad juncture here with Highway 5. Dangerous, really a problem. If this church had said, no, we're not going to let you have any of our property, they could condemn it and take it in order to make it wide enough to turn on and be safe or whatever. That's what we've always said it means. But with the interpretation that the Supreme Court gave just this past week, they could condemn this property because they want to build a property or lease it or sell it, rather, to a group that will produce revenue. And drugstore, whatever, Walgreens. Walgreens love to have this. So they condemn this and take a property. That is legally possible now, okay? We never said that that's what this amendment meant. You say, well, the city couldn't. Yes, the city can. The state can. The city can. The city council of Bryant can declare this a property that would benefit the greater need of people if this was a Walgreens, okay? And guess what we'd have to do? Take the money that they appraised it to be worth, and we'd leave. We'd move. So that has been people are not thinking about it perhaps, but that is a tremendous change in the concept, because guess what? That's what kings did. They just came along and said, I want that. And you say, no, you can't have it. They'd either have you killed or have you forcibly moved. And people said, we don't like that law. A man ought to be safe if he's poverty-stricken. He built him a log house, and it's sitting there. Ought not be anybody come along and take it from him unless it's right in the middle of the freeway, and then they give him what it's worth. So see, things are really changing. And that concerns me. It really bothers me. And I hope that our people can decide that we're a bit more involved in this, be more aware of it. I don't want Congress to pass a law. I don't want this city to pass a law that says from sundown July 3rd to sundown July 5th or 4th, you have to display a flag of a certain size in a certain way, and if you don't, you'll be fined. I don't want that. Do you? But I don't want them to tell me, now, you're a church and you can't fly a flag. I don't want them to tell me that. Do you want them to tell you that? I want them to stay out of our business. Okay? And that's what these 10 amendments are all about. Stay out of our business. We'll go to war. You draft us, we'll be obedient. We'll volunteer. We'll be a part of service. It's a magnificent way to serve God and country. Be proud of your uniform if you wear one. Be proud of it. I'm proud of it. God bless you. God help you. But don't tell us we have to start church at 10 o'clock. If you do, we'll start at 10:30. I don't care what the city council votes for us to do. We'll play a piano if we want to. You say, well, that's just being stubborn. Absolutely. It's being negative. Absolutely. But we can be free to worship God. And we can be free to praise God and to be the sons of God, the children of God. The sunshine of spiritual truth can shine upon us, and the sunshine of civil liberty and freedom can shine upon us. And we can be a happy and prosperous people if we will live by the principles of the Word of God and good government. Let's stand.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and
Amen.